see myself the way you see me. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Professor T. Bass. Thank you, listening audience. Thank you, callers. Thank you. It's the J. Wright Show. It's 0900 hours. In fact, we're a little after 0900, but it's no 0900 hours. Sunday morning, WJNI 106.3, the J. Wright Show, live and in the studio with the Professor T. Bass with me this morning, handling the business, my first line of defense on the ones and twos. Thank you, sir, this morning for being with me.
Yes, sir. Good morning.
843-308-9564 is the number. 843-308-9564 is the number. You know I got a live, hot show ready for you today. We're going to focus on, and I'm going to bring some attention to, Mental Health Awareness Month. We have to talk about that because we've got enough going on in and around the world that Mental Health Awareness Month is even amped up now because of just some of the activity that we're seeing. Sponsors make the show. Dorothy's Funeral Home, F. Brisbane Mortuary Transport, Hannibal's Kitchen, Family Seafood Market, Check Masters, Check Cashin, Jefferson Building on Highway 17 North of Mount Pleasant, the Tree of Life Ministry on Rivers Avenue. Thank you. Thank you, sponsors, that allow me to come on every Sunday morning and bring this live show to you, the listening audience. Hopefully, everybody's had a good week. I'm going to bring your attention to the Omnibus Budget Reconciliation Act of 1981. Ronald Reagan, the actor turned president, he repealed most of the Mental Health System Act. He repealed it in 1981. America, we have abandoned a large segment of society, and I think we've lost control of the mental health and how we deal with them, and we got to look at that. But I want you to call me up and tell me if I'm right. If I'm wrong, I'm going to be Jay Wright regardless. But 843-308-9564 is the number. And it is going to be the Jay Wright Show. So you can call. But listen, I want to put a few things out there, right, as it relates to the mental health. All right. Some examples. Orangeburg, South Carolina. A 6-year-old boy was killed in a drive-by at 11:35 p.m. on Friday night. So the kid was at home where he was supposed to be. Killed in a drive-by. Orangeburg, South Carolina, Buffalo, New York, racially motivated live screaming. I mean, this dude live screamed his shooting, so he didn't need ABC News 4, NBC, CBS, because he was going to give it to you live himself, right? He was self-promoting. Racially motivated, in a grocery store in Buffalo, killed 10 people, injured 3. This dude had tactical vests on. He even exchanged shots with the security. Very confident, armored, ready to go. Be mindful, had that act happened here at the local Publix or Harris Teeter or wherever, it would not have been a hate crime. Remember, here in South Carolina, we don't have a hate crime bill. Thank you, Representative Wendell Gilyard, for your efforts and to try to push that. We don't have a hate crime bill. So if that was in the grocery store here in South Carolina, it would not have been a hate crime. But it is being listed as a hate crime, racially motivated. Okay, that's that issue, right? And then 3 people shot outside a Milwaukee Bucks game. 2 hours later, 17 others shot just blocks away. Did I just sound like the local news station? Give you the first 3 minutes of all mental health are shootings. I think I sound like a local news station, right?
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay. Well, you know, I don't want to do that. But here's what I want to do. The question for you to listen audience is, do we have a gun violence issue? Or did the mental health repeal by Ronald Reagan create the problem that we're facing today? Do we have a gun violence issue? Or did Ronald Reagan, the actor turned president, repeal and create, and can he be responsible for what we see today? That's the question for you to listen, audience. 843-308-9564. He did repeal it. He did peel back. Before I get, I got a call that's going to be calling in shortly. But one thing I got to get in, I got to get this out because I like talking about my big dummy. And of course, like every week, I got a big dummy. The big dummy of the week this week is Henry Louis Wallace. Henry Louis Wallace, you are a big dummy and you are the J. Rice Show dummy of the week. Why Henry Louis Wallace? Well, in 1992 to 1994, known as the Taco Bell Strangler. If I worked at Taco Bell, if I was a franchise owner, I'd make them change that whole name. The Taco Bell Strangler killed 10 women on the east side of Charlotte, North Carolina. And for the first time, he was interviewed from jail 25 years later on 2020. So you guys get to know that big dummy. Because not only did he kill 10 women on the east side of Charlotte, that big dummy even had me displaced. Why? I lived in an apartment, and the young lady, I came home one day for lunch. I was in mom uniform. Came home for lunch one day, and he was sitting in the parking lot talking to this young lady. Young lady name eventually, I came to find out, was Valencia Jumper from South Carolina, attended John C. Smith University. He was in the parking lot talking to her when I came up for lunch. So I introduced myself as her neighbor, blase, blase. And then that night, he raped and killed her and set her place on fire. So I had to be displaced. So that big dummy, he's not only the big dummy of the week, but he terrorized Charlotte for a little while between that 92 and 94 period. So yes, Henry Louis Wallace, I officially have declared you the dummy of the week on the J. Rice Show. And elections are here. Early voting, elections. I can't speak enough of it. No vote, no voice. But I got a caller. I'm going to jump right in the caller. Good morning, caller. Welcome to WJNI 106.3. You're on the J. Rice Show.
Good morning. This is Carla Gregg. How are you this morning?
Well, good morning, Carla Gregg. How are you this morning, ma'am? President of the 4 Mile community in Mount Pleasant. I think you got a huge event coming up this Saturday, and you want to tell the J. Wright listening audience all about it.
Definitely. 4 Mile Community Association is presenting the We in the Backyard Day Party.
Wow.
It's going to be exciting. We have guest speakers. As you're saying, this is an election year, so we have a couple of politicians that's going to stop by, mm-hmm. or people running for office just to introduce themselves. We have vendors. We have Shelton Richardson himself is going to be giving the live performance. He sings, getting it in, so we're excited about it, very excited. Bring your own bottle, bring your own lawn chair, bring your own tent, and let's just come out and have a good time. Vendors will be on hand.
And where is this happening at?
This is happening at 1800 Labor Camp Road in Mount Pleasant, directly in the heart of the 4 Mile community.
Outstanding. Now, how can people get in touch with you about getting tickets and so they can be a part of that?
They can call us. Our radio ad is running tomorrow. We have Eventbrite also. Getting it in is the actual tag for the Eventbrite. They can get tickets at Eventbrite. They can call us. Our numbers are located on the flyers. My number is going to be on the radio ad tomorrow. Cheryl's number will be on there. So we have a lot of different ways. We have tickets in Family Seafood also. So people can stop by there and get tickets.
Okay, good. Well, listen, thank you so much for calling this morning and making my millions of listeners on the J. Rice Show aware of this event that's happening this Saturday. What time does the gates open?
The gates open at 12 from 1 to 7. We will be out there all day just trying to give people a good time. 4 Mile Community Association is actually a nonprofit, so everything goes back into the community to make our community better, to make our community center better.
Well, thank you, Madam President, for calling in, and President of 4 Mile Community Association. I hope I can get by there and spend some time with y'all and enjoy this festive evening that you guys plan back in the backyard, 4 Mile Community.
In the backyard, that's right, 4 Mile Community, 1800 Labor Camp Road. Hope to see you there.
Well, I'm coming to the backyard. I'm going to find my way to the backyard. Thank you so much, Carla.
Thank you. All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
You guys make it out there, 1800 Labor Camp Road, in the backyard. I want to go in the backyard. They got a real backyard, too. They got a big old backyard. So get out there, check it out. It said BYOB. I don't know what that means because, I don't know. But you know what it means. I know what it means, too. But anyway, Get out there. Take part in that. And she, as she said, elections, elections, elections. There are going to be some folks that are running for office that'll be in that backyard on next Saturday. So what better time than you than for you to get a chance to get to know who they are than to go out and hang out with them? You know, you might be able to have some libations with them and, you know, kind of make them open up a little bit. But anyway, get out there. See if you can be a part of that. Roe versus Wade, the leak. Well, here's the effects of that leak. Marches and protests are happening all around the world. They are going to extreme measures. These guys are protesting in front of Supreme Court justices' houses. They're in their front yard. When they come out in the mornings, protesters are out there protesting them. Those are extreme measures. But I think there are effective measures, right? So now all this security around the Supreme Court justice and, you know, all this about protesters kind of invading their privacy. Well, everybody know that sidewalks are, they belong to the city. They belong to local government. You're allowed to be there. So they have real problems now with that new tactic of protesting in front of their residents. Well, let's just hope that we can get a constitutional amendment that would that would make them say no longer can you be self-appointed. No longer can you be appointed for the rest of your life. No longer can you be appointed to a Supreme Court justice for the rest of your life. A constitutional amendment, let's change it. And then that way you ain't got to worry about people out in front of your doors. Change that. Go after that. See how well that works. But the fact that they're in front of their houses, I think it says a lot. It says a lot about where people are going as it relates to this issue and tactics. Because that's a tactic, right? And it's getting attention. So where are you on that one? Do you feel like they should be in front of those Supreme Court justices' homes? Do you feel that maybe this is the time for that constitutional amendment that changes that lifetime appointment? What's your position on that? 843-308-9564 is the number. 843-308-9564 is the number. You're free to talk about anything I'm talking about this morning. In fact, you're welcome to chime in on the whole mental health piece as well. Because do we have a mental health issue in America? That's a huge question. But even more importantly, does the gun violence trigger some of that mental health issues? One thing I can say for sure is we got a lot of guns on the streets in America. There's a lot of guns on the streets of America. How is that possible? And no one really has a real answer as it relates to why there's so many guns on the street. No one has a real answer as to why we seeing these repeated mass shootings. No one has a real answer. It was said this morning that since Biden has been president, I think there's been 850 mass shootings. And I look at that number, I'm like, wow, you know, dude's only been president like, a couple years, a year or two? 850 mass shootings? What does that say? I need to know from you, the listening audience, right? And also, while I'm on Biden, let me address this issue as well. There is a lot of money, a lot of resources, and I ain't gonna say money. There's a lot of resources that are being given to the Ukrainian government to help them fight against this Russian invasion. We are supplying them with a lot of equipment. Is that good, and do you support that? But I'll tell you what I also want you to take into consideration. President Biden, our shelves in the stores with baby food, that's a terrible look for you, sir. That's a terrible look for you because we are supplying Ukraine with equipment to help this invasion issue while we are looking at inflation in America. So is that equipment that we're sending to Ukraine creating our inflation, or is it a way for us to say we're partnering and we don't want Russia to invade Ukraine, and then we're going to supply you with all these weapons and defense mechanisms to ward off Ukraine, but at the same time, we'll just deal with our inflation issue here in America. So are you happy with that? Are you happy with how much you're seeing we're sending to Ukraine versus troops? And then the inflation here in America, does it look like, okay, we're sending all our resources? Because when the spend comes out, it's going to be spend that we sent billions of dollars, literally dollars, to Ukraine while we didn't have no baby formula here in America. But that's not necessarily the case. But I want your take on it. 843-308-9564. I got a lot going on this morning. But I want to know your thoughts on anything I've talked about. In fact, if there's something I did not talk about, I'd like to know your thoughts on it. You're free to call. 843-308-9564 is the number. And I'm going to make sure I get in there about Brittany Griner before this show's over, because that girl is still over in Russia. And in fact, she's on an extended stay right now. So we don't know how that's going to play out. But what we do know is that she's on an extended stay. She's still there. And they refuse to release her. My question is, what are those accommodations like? And what is she subject to in a jail in a foreign country? Well, I got a call on the line. I'm going to jump right in. Let me get that caller. Good morning, caller. Welcome to WJNI 106.3. You're on the Jay Rice Show.
Hi. Well, this is Ms. Gaddis. I'm calling about a lot of the issues, but one of them I'm talking about is the money going to Ukraine.
Okay.
And if we're not getting any type of, but it's crazy for us to get funds over here in the United States for anything. I mean, from health care to food in our stomachs, for getting on food assistance and everything else. And we're around here going to food banks trying to find food. When you're giving Ukraine all this money for aid, but yes, I mean, yeah, they need it. But there's other places out here that can give money for aid too. Why do they have to be the United States giving so much, so much, so much? And we can't hardly get anything here in the United States. The jobs are out here, but my thing, they're not even paying enough to even pay for the food on the jobs that we're making, the money that we're making on jobs these days. So that's just my complaint.
Well, but you have a valid complaint, because not only do you have a complaint, but it's also something that's not being addressed here, is that there's also that wage disparity, right? Aside from the wage disparity, but there's also that cost of living. Cost of living is going up. Our wages are staying the same. And so it does not feel good. It just doesn't feel good, man. Am I right? It don't feel good to see what's going on. And then you look at what's going on the ground here in America. It doesn't feel good, does it?
Yeah, we've been having war on this side for, just as much as Ukraine and Russia having their issues, but we're having internal issues here in the United States ourselves that they're not even addressing. You know, so my thing is, why are we so focused on Ukraine? I mean, we still don't have anything to eat. Ukraine, you're giving them so much, but we're still starving over here. Doesn't make any sense to me.
We got some issues to fix. We got some real issues to fix. But I'll tell you one way we can fix it.
It comes into our voting. It comes into our making the difference. Just because we're sitting out here, saying, okay, we're here, but we have to get out here and we have to put our vote in. We have to start doing background checks on these people that's running for these positions and making sure that they're for us. And if we don't do that, we're not going to make a difference on anything that we're doing.
Ma'am, thank you so much for chiming in. I really appreciate you so much for bringing all that to the show. And that's the reason why I have the show and the reason why I have you call in, because it's not so much about what I say, but it is so much about how engaging I make this show and allow you to have a chance to call in and chime in. So I appreciate your comments. And we got work to do, right? But we do have to start in that booth. We got to get out and vote. We got to make our voices heard. We are equal. We are equal when we get into that booth. But we got to know who the folks that are running that want to represent us as well.
Yes, definitely. We have to start focusing on what they're doing, how they're doing it. And I thank y'all so much.
Thank you so much,
I'm
ma'am.
I'm on my way to church.
do you listen every Sunday?
Yes, I do. I listen every Sunday.
Outstanding, ma'am. Thank you so much, ma'am. Enjoy the rest of your day. Where are you calling from?
Okay. I'm calling from Somerville, Ridgeville. This is Meechie, everybody. You know me.
All right, Meechie calling in. Thank you, ma'am. Enjoy the rest
Thank
of the day.
You.
All right. You heard the caller. The caller is expressing the fact that we got internal issues that they would much rather see us work on. We do know the whole role of the whole international police that we tend to play sometimes. And when these things happen, we tend to want to dive right in and, you know, save certain countries are, you know, because there's some that dramatic things could happen. I mean, devastating things could happen and they will not get any help and any aid and any assistance, i.e. Haiti. I think God don't like Haiti because for some reason things can happen to Haiti and they just don't seem to get the same level of attention. But we know, we know that we got to do certain things and we got to appeal to a segment of society when it comes to these issues, when it, because we are, they say we're the dominant, you know, United States is. So why wouldn't the United States not help Ukraine? That's the theory. The theory is why would you the United States not help Ukraine? But it's, you know, there's some things about the Ukraine thing. Every time I see that, I look at the folks that are being interviewed, and it just doesn't, is it me? It just doesn't look like any diversity in Ukraine. It just doesn't, and it must just be me. But Professor T-Bays, you know, I'd like to get you to chime in on that. Do you see any diversity when you see any interviews in Ukraine at all?
Well, I can't speak to if there's no diversity there. That's what it is. You know what I'm saying? It's like if you know, to go to Haiti for the interview, I wouldn't expect to see reverse diversity. Maybe that's the way to say it. I don't think it's the Eastern Bloc.
It's mostly
white folk.
Okay.
So I don't expect to see diversity, if you will. Okay. If you know what I'm saying. But, you know, America's got a lot of problems. But I'll just say this. We never started right. We never started right. Mm-hmm. So for us to think that we're supposed to be right now is actually a flawed thought. We never started right.
Okay, well, that's an excellent point.
Yeah, I mean, so... If we came into a land and we started off in a fraudulent way, it just has the Indians.
Absolutely.
We never started right. So
absolutely.
We're actually, you know, mental health and insanity aren't necessarily the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I just keep it kind of quiet. We never started right.
Right.
I mean, it's just... And it's going to get worse.
Okay. All right, good. Well, listen. Yeah. Well, I know I got a call online. I'm going to jump right in and get that caller. I think it's my guest. And I'm excited to have her
I'm
on.
Not sure.
Okay. Go ahead. Let me.
Nope. Well, we lost him.
We lost him. So let's hope they get back on the line. You know how it is on the J. Wright Show. We got a lot going on. We're trying to get everybody in. Everybody's trying to make sure they be a part of the J. Wright Show.
The millions, baby.
That's right, the millions, baby. We're trying to do this thing, man. We're trying to do it. We're trying to do it right.
I would say this, though, before you get your caller to speak to mental health. We have a moral health and spiritual health problem because – if you don't believe the Bible,
mm-hmm.
and there's many that unfortunately don't, they don't take it serious. But if you follow it, you'll be better off.
Mm-hmm.
So from a morality standpoint, we do things, and we are now, I believe, giving the hall pass to say it's mental health. Hate is not mental health.
Absolutely.
And the things that we do, even one to another, that's not mental health.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are people, when people don't know, when they don't know their name, you know, they look in the mirror and they don't know who they are. That's mental health.
Right.
And you know, there are varying degrees, don't get me wrong, but mm-hmm. you know, if you have the wherewithal to go and do what that kid did yesterday, he's morally unhealthy.
Yeah. And
you know, definitely, I would suspect spiritually unhealthy, you know. But he had enough mental capacity to do a whole lot of damage.
That's absolutely right. You know? And planned. I mean, because there was some planning involved in that. You know, so now when we're talking about, not only are we talking about a young man that goes and kills 10 people, But this dude is this dude has gear on like he is in Ukraine. Literally in Ukraine. So then how do we see that, as the early, as the caller said earlier, with the help and assistance that we're giving Ukraine? How do you see that young man in Buffalo, New York, armored up, taking on security? That dude should have been in Ukraine somewhere helping those folks. Because now, and I guess the question becomes now, do we, not only do we have a weapon, a gun issue, violence issue in America, are we also now promoting promoting these activities by allowing folks to buy online or wherever they're getting it at, all these gear that is supposed to be used for the military and for police department? Because if you can get that, then that's that extra sense of security that you can go in and do a lot of damage and not have to worry about dying. But, you know, we just passed a new law here in South Carolina, right? And that new law says that you can be met with the firing squad if you were to receive the death penalty. Is that law, and I wonder then, and I wonder today, was that law going to be the one that was going to change people's mind about going out and committing, killing folks and being a part of real criminal activity? Was that law going to change people's mind? Well, I don't know. And I'm not sure that it is, because that 6-year-old kid that was in Orangeburg that got shot in his house by the folks that were doing a drive-by, you would have think that they would have said, oh, man, if I do this, I could be met with the firing squad. I don't think they're thinking about that.
But even bigger than that, because I said, once again, we have a moral health challenge. Why would you even consider, I want to get at him or her, but I shouldn't shoot in there because I don't know who's in there.
Absolutely.
That's what's missing. What you want to do in an open field if that's what you want to do, but just like in Pepper Hill.
Right.
There was no regard to anyone else. Mm-hmm. There was no boundaries. Moral health epidemic.
Right.
Moral health epidemic.
Yeah, it's some issues, man. We got to, and you know, we can't, ain't no one individual has the answers. We got, this has got to be a problem that we solve together. And I think I got my call online. I'm waiting on a call. I want to get her up here on the call so you guys can get a chance to hear from hopefully Mia McLeod, that's running for governor of the state of South Carolina. I think we're going to get her up here in just a few minutes. I've been known as Mike running my mouth, me and Professor T-Base having dialogue and getting calls in, and you know how it is, we get behind. But good morning, caller. Welcome to WJNI 106.3. You're on the Jay Rice Show.
Good morning, Cousin Johnny. Good morning, Brother T-Base. How are you
this morning?
Good morning, Cousin M. Cousin M, can I get you to do me a huge favor? I got Mia McLeod is running for governor on the line. Can you call me back in just a few minutes?
Okay.
All right, thank you.
On the show? Okay.
Yes. All right, thank you.
Oh, okay. Bye.
Y'all know Cousin M. Cousin M got something to say about something I'm talking about. So we're going to get her up here in a few minutes. You know, we got a lot of activity going on, so I'm going to get let me get to this caller, and then I'm going to get Mia McLeod, that's running for governor, up here in just a few minutes. A lot going on, Jay Rice Show. Let's get started here. Good morning, Professor Grant Gilmore.
Hi, good morning, John.
Good morning, sir. How are you this morning?
I'm great, thanks. It's a lovely day in the Lowcountry.
Outstanding, sir. Thank you so much for calling into the Jay Rice Show this morning. And you got something very exciting that I got to let the people know about, and I'm excited about it. The African-American Historic Settlement Community Commission is excited about it. The 1904 school is excited about it. Professor Grant Gilmore, please tell my millions of listeners what you and students will be doing for the next few weeks.
All right. Thanks, John. I've got Professor Joanna Gilmore with me, and we're both archaeologists as well as historic preservationists. And many of your listeners may know of Joanna's work with the Gullah Society and also the Anson Street Burial Ground Project in downtown. So starting tomorrow, we're very excited to lead the College of Charleston's first field school in 3 years. This is an archaeology field school where students will be learning how to excavate. And not only that, but why we excavate particular sites. Archaeologists in the time that we're living in now have to be very careful about which sites they excavate, which ones they just leave alone. In this particular instance, the former site, the former original site of the Long Point Schoolhouse, is slated for development. Mm-hmm. So we have organized, along with many partners, a archaeology field school for the next 3 weeks, starting tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And the goal is to try to understand what students, teachers, parents, what they all left behind during the time that the schoolhouse was in operation, and also, obviously, subsequently, the domestic residence aspects of it in the post-1955 era.
Mm-hmm.
We're very excited because this is one of three schoolhouse sites ever to be excavated in the United States.
Wow.
What do children leave behind in schoolyards? Mm-hmm. And we know that the schoolhouse was expanded in 1925. Hopefully we'll be able to discern two different phases during the schoolhouse occupation.
Mm-hmm.
So will we find pencils and erasers and toys and maybe other learning materials, maybe pieces of desks, marbles and things like that that students were playing with.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And there may be earlier phases of occupation, as an archaeological term, on the site as well. We suspect at this point that the framing of the schoolhouse, the original schoolhouse, may date to the late 1700s.
Wow.
Or early 1800s.
Wow.
And so where did that move from, or was this the original location for it? And what was the building's original function? We can hazard a guess as to what that might have been, but these are all questions that can't be answered in the documentary record, and we can't interview anybody from 200 years ago.
Right.
So the archaeological remains that we find with our students are what can tell that history.
You know, Joanne, I want to really thank you because, you know, this work that you're going to do starting tomorrow, and this is going to go on for what? How many days will this go on for?
Till the end of the month.
Until the end of the month.
June 3rd.
June 3rd.
I'll tell you this. Well, yeah, we'll be excavating Monday through Thursday, mm-hmm. and then Fridays we'll be in the lab processing artifacts. So we won't be on site likely on Fridays.
Okay.
Or if there's a rain day, we'll swap around the digging day.
Okay.
But we're going to have it set up where people can come and visit. I wouldn't recommend coming to visit on the first couple of days, but after that, if people are interested in learning more about the schoolhouse project altogether, learning about archaeology, if they want to tell stories or tell us a little bit of the history of their own personal experiences with the schoolhouse, we would encourage you to come down to that original site, and we'll have specially trained students and faculty. Joanna's trained in this for interviewing people. And if you want to be interviewed, we would love to have you come and visit.
Well, Professor Grant Gilmore and Professor Joanne, I want to thank you both because, you know, you, Grant, you were a part of the initial College of Charleston review that was done on the school that validated the importance of why the school should be saved and materials and so on and so forth. So, you know, this is not something you just started yesterday. You've been working with this project for quite some time, and I want to thank you so much.
Yeah.
And as you know, as president of the African American, as president of the African American Commission, on behalf of the commission, we are thrilled, and we cannot thank you enough because not only did we think it was important enough to have the school moved and restored, but we also think it's just as important to find out what was in the ground of where the kids played, because I think Joe Palmer definitely. He told me he played marbles at school. He didn't learn anything, but he said he played marbles. So you guys should find some marbles in the ground because Joe Palmer left them there. But we're excited to just for this project to get underway. We're going to make sure we get some press behind this, Grant and Joanne, starting tomorrow for the next 15 days roughly, they will be at the site of the old 1904 schoolhouse. Thank you both so much. This is a huge deal, and get a chance to get by there and see them and see this, because archaeology studies is a very, very valuable tool to understanding what was before we deal with what is.
Yes, absolutely.
Thank you, Grant. And
public outreach, so please come and visit.
Thank you, Grant and Joanne, so much. I look forward to seeing you guys tomorrow. Everybody, get out there and get a chance to see this. This is one in a lifetime. You don't get to see this often. So thank you both.
That's right.
And I look forward to what's going to happen in the next 2 weeks out there at that site.
All right.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
All right. You guys heard Professor Grant Gilmore and his wife Joanne. Those guys are going to be digging in the ground at the old 1904 school. So we're going to find out what is down there. Joe Palmer, I know he left marbles. He said he didn't learn anything in first grade, but he played marbles. So, Joe, they're going to find your marbles. Hopefully, we can put it in the archives. You were a student there. Yes, that's going to be exciting. But I also got a guest coming online in just a second. I'm excited, and I want to talk to her. So let me get that all worked up, because we've been trying to get her on here for a few minutes. And as soon as we get her up, you'll get a chance to hear from Mia McLeod, that's running for governor at the state of South Carolina. And we'll see. Good morning. Good morning, caller. Welcome to WJNI 106.3. You're on the Jay Rice Show. Good morning. Welcome to WJNI 106.3. You're on the Jay Rice Show. This is on the phone with me. It's Mia McLeod for governor of the state of South Carolina.
Yes.
Go Mia. Thank you so much, ma'am, for taking time out of what I know is a busy schedule for you to be on the Jay Rice Show. We got millions of listeners. They're drinking coffee, tea, hot chocolate. Some of them even drinking mimosa, Mia. And they want to hear from you, and they want to know what this run is, how it's going, what can we do here to help in the Charleston Low Country area. Let's talk about Mia McLeod. Well, I'll tell you one thing. Before I get you into all about you, I just want to thank you so much, because that bill that you introduced, House 4544, that dubbed the Viagra bill.
Right.
You know, what? How timely, Mia, to dub the Viagra bill, what's going on right now. But thank you so much. Tell the listening audience who you are and why you want their vote.
Sure. Thank you so much for having me this morning. I am Senator Mia McLeod. I come from Bennettsville, South Carolina, born and raised in rural South Carolina, and I've been serving in the South Carolina Senate now for 6 years, served in the South Carolina House for 6 as well, and I decided to run for governor because I have 2 young adult sons, and neither one of them wants to live in South Carolina as an adult. And it's heartbreaking, but I totally understand why. Because they don't feel that their voices matter here. They don't feel that their lives matter here. And they're right. And the only way to deal with that is to change it.
Right.
And so I decided to run for governor because I just believe that you shouldn't have to know somebody to be somebody who matters in this state.
Right,
South Carolina should be a place where everybody can thrive, and I'm committed to that. I think that we have a real opportunity here in South Carolina to change the trajectory of our state. So I'm excited about that.
Well, I'm excited that you're running, and I'm delighted to know. Again, you've had the opportunity to do both the House and the Senate, so you know how they both
Absolutely.
Operate. You know what it takes to bring folks together. What can people do to become more familiar with your campaign, your platform? Where can they go to and look and get information about Mia McLeod?
they can go to miaforsc.com. That's miaforsc.com. And please donate. We need contributions. It takes so much to run statewide. I am the first black woman to ever run for governor in our state.
Say that again, please. Please, please, ma'am, please. I'm sorry for interrupting you, and I won't interrupt you as governor, but please, say that again.
I am the first black woman to ever run for governor in the history of our state. I understand that representation matters, and, but I'm not running to make history. I've made history. I'm running to make a difference. In our state, we need change. We can't take 4 more years of a governor who refused to expand, president Pence, to expand Medicaid, even during a global pandemic, who has politicized this pandemic, knowing that it continues to wreak havoc on communities of color. We can't afford a governor who, goes on TV every other day, it seems, and talks about all of the high-paying jobs that we have in South Carolina, knowing that we have, because of our minimally adequate public education standard here, and because they have done everything they can possibly do to defund public education in South Carolina, that, we have high-paying jobs right here, but the people who live here and who are from here don't have a shot at competing for those jobs because they are constantly bringing people in from out of state to fill those high-paying positions. Meanwhile, they're pushing South Carolinians back into minimum wage jobs, and nobody can live on $7.25 an hour. That is the federal minimum wage, and that is what South Carolinians are forced to live on here. And it's not conducive to anybody thriving here in South Carolina. And so we got to change that. I believe that this presents a real opportunity for us to do something different. I think in the past we've continued to do the same thing year after year, election after election, and lose. We haven't had a Democratic governor in almost 2 decades. And it shows. So we need somebody who has the courage to lead, the guts to govern, and then hit the ground running on day one. I am that candidate, that person, that leader. And so I am making the case across South Carolina, going and talking to voters. We've been around South Carolina, oh my gosh, all week. This week, and I'm the only candidate in the race who has state government experience on both sides of the aisle in the executive and legislative branches, to include the incumbent governor. I don't believe he's ever worked in a Democratic administration. I have worked in a Republican administration. Just after I graduated law school, I worked for Republican Attorney General Charlie Condon, who is from Charleston. You probably are familiar with him. At a time when our state was number one in the nation for women who are murdered by men as a result of domestic violence. So I've been doing this work for a minute, and I understand the hardships that South Carolinians face, especially now during a global pandemic. I'm the only candidate in this race who lives with a chronic health condition. I was diagnosed with sickle cell anemia when I my freshman year in college at the University of South Carolina, and so there's so many of my lived experiences resonate and connect with the people of South Carolina, just everyday hardworking people, and I want to make sure that every South Carolinian has an opportunity to thrive here.
Well, I want to thank you so much for all the work you've done. I'm born and raised here, and I'm only been back home, short of 9 years, but, I've heard your name, and I've read a lot about what you're doing, and, Bennettsville, as I, growing up, I went to the Wando High School, and, you know, growing up, we Bannersville was country, was a country to us. So, you know, me, I'm not going to call you a country girl, but I know you're a country girl with values.
I'm a country girl. I embrace that. I am definitely a country girl
with values. And so, you know, one of the things I do would hope that we can get a chance to circle back to and get it back, the hate crime bill. You know, I don't know how we get back to that. And how do we get that through here in South Carolina? Because I thought what happened in Buffalo yesterday was tragic. And at least they have that hate crime bill that they can refer to as it relates to that activity.
Right.
But, you know, let's hope we get back to that. And then the other thing is the broadband, you know, the rural broadband. We learned during the pandemic that that's a major issue. And, you know, I'm sure that those are things that you're gonna tackle and you're going to address.
Absolutely. I mean, even in my hometown county, mm-hmm. we have broadband dead zones, and, you know, it saddens me to think that some of our students will have to continue to do their homework and schoolwork in parking lots just so they can have access to broadband. I mean, this is 2022, and we are still living in the dark ages in South Carolina because of this governor. We've got to change that. And when I think about the hate crimes bill, and the fact that the very chamber that my friend and colleague, Senator Clemente Pinckney, committed his life to, is the chamber that where we had ten Republican senators who were blocking us from even debating the bill on the Senate floor. Wow. And they effectively killed it because session ended on Thursday mm-hmm. of last week. Mm-hmm. So they effectively killed that bill. I presented a video. I shared a video on the Senate floor of one of the Mother Emanuel survivors. Her name is Mrs. Polly Shepherd.
Yeah, I know.
And she called every member of the South Carolina Senate, every Republican who was blocking the debate, she called them out. Two of them have represented her at different times where she lives. And it was such a powerful, such a poignant video. It almost shut the Senate down.
Wow.
I could tell that my colleagues didn't appreciate it. Not that I care, because I don't appreciate what they did in terms of just blocking the bill. We couldn't even have a conversation about the hate crimes bill in the waning days of the session. And that just goes to show how much hate still exists, not just outside the chamber or not just outside of the state house, but inside as well. And so that's what we're up against. The governor was in lockstep with them. You know, he wasn't, I doubt if he would have signed it. He was eerily silent on that, but he's been very vocal when it comes to open carry and fetal heartbeat bills and stupid ridiculousness. You know, there's no shortage of ridiculousness when it comes to the bills that they champion and that they prioritize, knowing that South Carolinians, everyday South Carolinians, you know, those aren't the issues that they care about. Those aren't the issues that keep them from thriving every single day. And so, you know, it's just unconscionable to think that we are one of two states now that does not have a hate crimes bill and had one of the most heinous hate crimes in modern history. So that's what we're up against. But I will tell you this. This is a race we can win in South Carolina. And I am running to win. I'm not playing games. I'm running. I'm going all around the state taking the case to voters and connecting with everyday people who are excited and energized that change is coming to South Carolina. And so that is encouraging. That is what inspires me to keep going and keep fighting.
Well, you know, Senator Mia McLeod, I wanted to, it was very, very important that I have you on the show this morning, simply because you're coming to Charleston this Tuesday. And
I am.
And there's someone that's dying to get on this, on the Jay Rice show to tell everybody about why you're coming and where you're going to be. So I'm going to get him up here in just a few minutes, but I do want to tell everybody, please give your website again and how people can get to know more about you, because I think to come Tuesday, they're going to get a chance to not only hear you on the Jay Rice show, but they can come physically meet you and get a chance to know why they need to vote Mia.
Absolutely. I hope they will. Go to miaforsc.com. That's MIAFORSC.com. Look at the fights. See the fights I've taken on. And don't just look at our website. Look at Google my name. And I say that in confidence, not in arrogance, because I'm extremely proud of the fights I've taken on. I mean, I know you just mentioned my Viagra bill when I was fed up with our male-dominated legislature calling the shots for women and girls and really re-victimizing women and girls who have been sexually assaulted as I have. And I'm going to continue those fights because these are the people, you know, 55% of our state's population is women. Mm-hmm. And we are allowing, by not engaging, by not voting these people out, we are allowing them to speak for us, and so many of us are fed up with that. That has to change. And even after the Viagra bill, when I was in the Senate, I've introduced a bill called the Pro-Birth Accountability Act. These guys call themselves pro-life, but they are anything but. They cut the very programs and services that women and girls need to survive and thrive in South Carolina. All they want is to mandate these births, but then they get to throw up their hands and say, hey, you know, this is on you now. Like, no accountability for the men, no accountability for the perpetrators or the offenders when these women and girls are raped and molested. No compassion, no nothing. They cut all of their programs and services to the point where, you know, I introduced this bill, the Pro-Birth Accountability Act, to hold the state accountable for these mandated births so that they can help. So they are forced to help cover the cost of a mandated birth from conception to college. That's only fair. It's only right. And I am, you know, it's just another, it's been referred to as another groundbreaking proposal we've got to start thinking creatively.
Well, I want to thank you so much, ma'am. For being on with me this morning, and I give you, I hope sure. I can get you back on before June, before the primaries, and so
June 14th is the primary. June, I meant to say that too. Please.
That's right, June 14th
please
is the primary.
Engage your folks and make sure everybody votes in that primary on June 14th. I need your support.
Absolutely,
I need your prayers and your support.
Absolutely,
so,
and
thank
get
you for having me
and get to meet her on Tuesday. I'm going to get that gentleman on a call here in just a second, and he's going to tell all about why you're coming on Tuesday. So he's
wonderful.
So he's cheerleading for Go Mia. So I'll get him up here in just a few minutes.
Wonderful.
Thank you, ma'am, for calling and being a part of the Jay Wright Show. We will talk again before June 14th.
Thank you for having me. I can't wait to see you on Tuesday.
I thank you, ma'am.
Bye-bye.
All right. Well, y'all heard her. She's running for governor. And, you know, as she indicated, she's not trying to make history. But it is historic that she would be the first black female to ever run for the role. So she's not trying to make history. And oftentimes public servants, let me make sure you understand that there's a difference between politicians and public servants. Public servants run not to, as she indicated, not to make history. But we get to make it historic because it is. But get to know her. Get out on Tuesday. When she comes here, and I'm trying to get that call up here in just a few minutes, it's going to tell us about where she's coming and what's going to happen. So she's running for governor. But again, like I said, there's a difference between get to know who is a politician and get to know who is a public servant, because they're two separate roles. And I know folks, i.e. myself, I don't want to be called a politician, but you can't call me a public servant. So let me get that caller up here on the line really quick before. Good morning, caller. Welcome to WJNI 106.3. You're on the Jay Wright Show.
Good morning. How you doing, Jay? This is Marquette Mapp, also known as ATL at ILA Local 1422. Thank you for having me on your show.
Sir, thank you so much for being on with me. Let's talk to us. I just had Mia McLeod on just a second ago.
Awesome.
And I know you're doing something. You guys are doing something for her on Tuesday. Tell my millions of listeners on the Jay Wright Show what's happening on Tuesday and where they need to be.
Yes, sir. Jay, thank you for the opportunity. We're asking all your listeners and everyone in the surrounding Charleston area to please be at the House of Labor. That is 4349 Corporate Road. That's our new location in North Charleston. We will have a meet and greet for Senator Mayor McCloud, who's going to be our next governor. So we're very excited. We're asking everyone to come out and be a part of the festivities. That's pretty much it, Jay. Thank you, man.
So what time is this going to happen on Tuesday?
Okay. The times, thank you, Jay. The times are going to be from 4:15 to 5:45 in the afternoon.
Okay.
And we're asking that everybody please come out if you can. Bring your family, your friends, and loved ones, but also bring a contribution.
Okay.
Because Mayor is going to need it. Whatever you can give, we would greatly appreciate it.
Well, listen, ATL, man, I want to thank you so much for calling in and making this all possible. At the Longshoreman Hall on Tuesday, you guys are going to is that going to be considered official endorsement?
Yes, sir. It is an endorsement from the ILA Local 1422, as well as other parties, the International Longshoremen Association, which covers all the states from Texas to Maine. Mm. They're also on board, as well as the ACLU. They're on board as well. So, man, listen, we're looking for big things. We want to make history here in the state of South Carolina. 25 years of a Republican governor that has to cease, Jay.
Thank you. I think
we have an opportunity and a solid candidate in place. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir, for your time and being on me Tuesday. Go to the ILA Hall. Be a part of that. Sponsors, Dorothy's Funeral Home, F. Brisbane Mortuary Transport, Hannibal's Kitchen, Family Seafood Market, Tech Masters Check Cashing, the Jefferson Building, Highway 17 North of Mount Pleasant, Tree of Life Ministry on Rivers Avenue. It's been a pleasure. It's always a pleasure. Tune in. Continue to stay tuned in. Don't forget Tuesday. Go out and meet Mia McCloud. On Saturday, they got something going on 4 Mile. So thank you all. Stay in peace. Until next week.
Thank you for allowing me to see myself the way you see me.